we praise him and we worship him and we adore him and we magnify him and we live for him. In him we live and move and have our being. We count it a privilege to stand before Almighty God as though we've never sinned. Hallelujah. That's enough to rejoice about right there. Now we're asking God's blessing upon our offering as we obey God in our giving, being led by the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to honor you with our first fruits. You said in your word, if we would honor you with our first fruits, that you would cause our barns to be filled with plenty and our presses to burst forth with new wine. I thank you for revelation knowledge continuing to flow in this place because of people giving first fruits. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that they always have enough to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of because they give their first fruits. Now, Father, according to the word of God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you ever live to make intercession for us, that you'll take the tithes, the offerings, the gifts of love, and the praise and worship, and present it unto the Father as a sweet-smelling savor unto his nostrils. And, Father, I thank you that the windows of heaven have been opened since the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father God, that you've seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we walk under an open heaven. And we thank you that every need is met spiritually, financially, materialistically, according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And as pastor of this church, I set myself in agreement with all those that gave that they shall receive the corresponding return on every gift that is given in Jesus' name. And every heart said, amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. Every week I have the opportunity to minister to ministers on Thursdays at 8 o'clock. And there are some ministers from 7-8 different states. And I'm trying to be led by the Spirit of God to upgrade them on some things of the Word of God. And one of the things that I tell them before I get off the phone is I love them. And I thank God for the privilege that I have to speak to them. Because I don't take it lightly that God would allow me to speak a word into somebody's life that has the opportunity to change their life. And as he loved me unconditionally, I love you. And I think it's a privilege and an honor for me to stand before you to proclaim this uncompromising gospel. Because on my deathbed, I told God I'd serve him if he raised me up. Now, I never said I'd be perfect, but I said I'd serve him. So God looked in the depths of my heart and saw my heart and looked past my faults and supplied my needs. This morning, I want to talk to you about grace. No, I want to talk to you about righteousness and faith. It was grace of God that brought me this far. But according to the Word of God, it's important that we have some understanding. Because the Bible says, with all you're getting, get understanding. So grace, I mean, I don't know why I keep thinking of grace. But anyhow, righteousness is the ability of God, the ability that God gives you to stand in his presence without the sense of guilt or shame, as though you have never, ever knew sin or associated with sin. So when Jesus died on Calvary's cross and he was risen and you accepted him, he sees you as the righteousness of God. God doesn't have two kinds of righteousness, one for him and one for you. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you was created in righteousness. So you are just like God, righteous. See, a king has a scepter, and that scepter is called righteousness. And when he wants someone to speak or he wants something done, he points that scepter at somebody, and that gives that person access to do with unlimited resources, whatever God wants him to do. You are God's righteousness. You're the scepter that when God calls you and God has equipped you, he's saying, wherever you go, I'm supplying every one of your needs. Whatever you do, I'm protecting you from hurt, harm, and danger. Whenever you open your mouth, you open your mouth as my representative because now you are my righteousness. And see, the body of Christ, sometimes we don't have this understanding about righteousness because we're so sin conscious. You know, growing up, they'd always remind me of sin and how I fell short from the mark. And if I got in trouble, you wasn't able to look anybody in the eye. You had to hold your head down. You had to show humility. And then if you did something else again, well, They would remind you what you did last week, and now you done did it again, and you had to walk on pins and needles. In other words, if they thought you weren't humbling yourself, they reminded you about how you had missed the mark. And then you had brothers and sisters, I did, that would remind me, you know, I'm going to tell Daddy, or Phil's acting up, or he didn't do what he was supposed to do. So when Mom or Dad came home, you know, they couldn't wait to talk and tell them what I'd done. So I had to walk around like this. You couldn't even look anybody in the eye because they wanted you to understand how shameful you were. You know what I mean? And how you missed the mark. And then sometimes they'd say things like, I never had a kid like you. So I had to turn it around and say, ain't nobody like me. Ain't nobody like me. Because I felt condemned. And I'm not saying I didn't miss the mark. I did miss the mark. But, you know, sometimes people didn't treat me as though I was a Christian, that I was a believer, because they kept bringing up the old. And what happens is sometimes parents, sometimes friends, sometimes family, sometimes people in the body of Christ will condemn you for what you used to do and what you did. And what we do sometimes, we forget that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And now I'm just as pure as I ever will be or have been because of the blood of Jesus that speaks on my behalf. So in Genesis 1:26, open your Bibles. And while you're opening your Bible, I want to tell you something here. I'll give you a couple of definitions or from understanding what righteousness does. It sets you free from all sense of guilt. Righteousness does. See, nobody, when I grew up, people would say, there's none righteous, no, not one. Then they would dare you to stand up and declare that you were righteous, because they'd say, you're nothing but a filthy rag. And people will sit there and they listen to that and they got beat over their head Sunday after Sunday because we were sinners. Well, you can't be a sinner and saved at the same time. Now, just because I sin doesn't mean I'm a sinner. It's just like if I put on ice skates, don't make me an ice skater. Makes me foolish. So you got to get to the place that you understand the difference. Just because you sin does not make you a sinner. A sinner is somebody who has never accepted the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. So now all of a sudden, since we've been washed, we're the righteousness of God. Now, it's not based on what you've done. It's not based on you not smoking, not drinking, not chasing. It's not based on any of those things. Or drinking, it's not based on any of your behavior. Your righteousness was established through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, this word righteousness is a powerful word because that's one of the characteristics God is. God is faithful and God is righteous. Now, it also establishes your worthiness to God because of what Jesus did. It will give you knowledge of your acceptance by God. It will produce peace in your life and home. Fear shall be driven far from you because of righteousness. It will cause you to have readiness to receive from God. Oppression shall be a thing of the past. It will give you confidence and boldness in prayer. It will cause your faith to explode into victory. Righteousness is a force and a power that will stop sin when it's yielded to and acted upon and will cause right action to follow. In other words, as the righteousness of God, you have authority. Now, in Genesis 1:26, God made a statement here. Turn there in your Bible so you can see it or look up on the board. It's important that we have some understanding because the Bible says with all you're getting, get understanding. Now, the reason why I keep going back to Genesis, because I want you to understand if Christ Jesus redeemed us, I want you to know what you're redeemed back to. Just saying I'm redeemed doesn't tell you that you have knowledge of anything. It's just the word. So if I can explain to you what redemption does, then you can operate in the redemptive power in the blood of Jesus because you have a right to. Now, in Genesis 1:26, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Now, if I'm going to be made in God's image and God's likeness, then you need to understand this. I'm righteous because God is. And he made me in his image and likeness. So just because you smoke, just because you drink, just because you don't always pray like you're supposed to, and you might have said a cuss word. The church has beat people up so bad that we won't come to church. You know why? Because they feel condemned. They think their sin is more powerful than the blood. They think their actions are more powerful than the blood. So as long as you got people in the body of Christ reminding people of their sins, they don't want to come to church to be with you because they feel shameful. They feel guilty. And see, all the guilt and all the shame was placed on Jesus. We have a tendency to forget about that sometimes. That doesn't mean we have to accept everything somebody does. It just means that your attitude and your behavior is not enough to make you right with God. You can't do enough to make you right with God. There were 613 commandments and laws, and nobody could keep them all. Now, when the Bible tells us that we were made in God's image and God's likeness, so Christ redeemed us back to that. That means you have the ability to go into the very presence of God as though you've never sinned, never been associated with sin. That's how pure you are. See, nobody's ever told you how pure you are. They've told you how you've missed the mark. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. That cleansed us and washed us when we couldn't do it ourselves. So in these laws, every year they had to give a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice from a bull, a ram, a goat, or something. Why? Because none of them could keep the law. So he had to put another law in there to take care of their sins into the next year. Even the priests had to put some blood on the altar for themselves first before they could put the blood for everybody else. But when I look at the Word of God, the Bible says we were made in God's image and God's likeness. So Adam had no problem walking with God in the garden. See, why is it that we don't spend any time with God now? Are you scared of him? Are you so sin conscious that you don't want to talk with God? You think he doesn't see you? He doesn't know your heart? Why is it we won't spend time with God? Are we too busy? Now, when God does this, it makes us righteous. Like Adam was righteous before the fall, he walked with God. Adam was placed in a place of prosperity. See, you can't get yourself out of poverty. God has to bring you out. Even if you work night and day, getting out of poverty, you still have a poverty mindset. Because if God hasn't delivered you from that spirit, you're still bound, even though you got money. You got money, but you're bound in poverty because you won't loose it. You won't use it for the glory of God. But what happens in the body of Christ, we have got to the place that we've got to understand that I can do all things through Christ because I'm made in God's image and God's likeness. Now, when Jesus came on the scene, it's important that you understand there was no lack. When God created man, he created everything man would need before he would need it. He made sure there was going to be enough air for him to breathe, even if he lived to be 120 years old. He made sure there's always going to be enough meat for him to eat. He made sure there was always going to be enough vegetables for him. As a matter of fact, he made enough supply for all the animals, all the birds, all the squirrels, all the cows, and they haven't run out of food yet. God already prepared that before you got here, so don't ever say, I don't have. You just haven't tapped into. And because you don't tap into, it's because you don't understand that you're righteous when you accepted Christ Jesus. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. That's the righteous. So now all of a sudden I notice that when Jesus came on the scene, there were some people that came and heard him preach. And one of the disciples said to Jesus, send them away so they can go get some food. Jesus said, you feed them. He said, 200 pennies worth is not enough to feed all these people. Jesus said, look out among you, what do you have? He had two fish and five loaves of bread. Now, one of the things you need to understand about God, that God always operates with these two components, righteousness and faith. He always operates with these two components. Now, righteousness, I've just described to you what righteousness was. It's the ability to stand in the presence of God without sense of sin or condemnation and know that you're a son of God. Now, God is righteous. He's the creator of all things. And when God speaks, his word is faithful. And not only is it faithful, but it's full of faith. So God never creates anything without himself being involved, and he's righteous. And when he speaks, faith comes. See, I don't have to talk to you about faith. Why? Because faith comes. Hallelujah. When you buy a car, you don't have to worry about a battery. If it's a new car, battery comes with the car. The engine comes with the car. It'd be terrible if you had bought a new car and then you had to turn around and buy an engine. I don't think people would be shopping where you sell cars. So a lot of times we spend a lot of time talking about faith and developing your faith and making your faith grow and establishing yourself in faith. Listen, faith shows up when you understand the righteous word of God. As long as you're hearing the righteous word of God, faith shows up. You can't separate them. It's like wet and water. You ever got in water and not get wet? No. Not unless you had some rain gear on, scuba diving gear or something. But see, what God wants us to understand is that when he created you in his own image and his own likeness, he made you righteous. So now all of a sudden I have the ability of God to think like God. Because the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. When God created me in his own image, he put his mind in me. See, I'm talking to you about the word of God. Why? Because the Bible says, put on the new man, which is in made in Christ Jesus, in the righteousness of God. You put him on. In other words, you can get up in the morning and still have the old mindset. And then when somebody calls you and wants to talk to you, you look and see who's on the answer machine and you don't want to talk because you're out of your mind. You don't know who you are. I don't want to talk to them because I don't feel good today. I don't want to talk to them because they might ask me for something. I don't want to talk to them just because I don't feel like talking. That's the old man. What if God wants you to represent him? You're so busy representing yourself that God can't use you. Then you go to pray. Lord, you said I'm the righteousness of God. Wait a minute. Even though you are the righteousness of God, you have not repented from what you did. The Bible says you got to confess your sins. And when you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if you never ask for forgiveness, how can the righteousness of God be revealed? How can the righteousness of God be established in you? And how can you operate in faith because you won't hear the word of God? So you cut yourself off from the blessings of the Lord. The blessings of the Lord make it rich and add no sorrow to it. You want to get wealthy? Obey God. He'll just cause blessings to come on you and overtake you. Hallelujah. And you'll never run out, never run short. So now all of a sudden, when I notice that when God made man in his own image and his own likeness, man was in the garden speaking things into existence. Isn't it amazing? Just like God. When God wanted trees, he spoke trees. When he wanted the sky, when he wanted stars, when he wanted the vegetation, he spoke them. So Adam is now operating like God as the righteousness of God. You see, when God wanted something, he knew he was righteous. Righteousness allows you to call those things that be not as though they were. Righteousness and faith were before time. You understand that? If God created the heavens and the earth, and God existed before time because he created time, then righteousness and faith must have been involved before time. So now here's the story about Lazarus in John chapter 11. And Lazarus was sick and had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Mary was the one who anointed Jesus' feet with oil and wiped it with her hair. And she sent for Jesus. and said, my brother who you love is sick. Come and heal him. When Jesus got the message, he stayed there two more days. He said, come on, let's go, because Lazarus is sick and I can sleep. Let's wake him up. And one of the disciples said, well, if he sleep, it'd be good. Let us all take a nap. He said, no, Lazarus is dead. So they get to Bethany, the place where Lazarus was buried. And when Jesus gets there, he said, the sister came out and said, Jesus, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. Fussed him out. You know how some of you are. Some of us are. And then she says, my sister wants to see you. So she goes and tells her sister, Jesus wants to see you. So she comes and said, if you'd just been here, my brother would not have died. But yet we know whatever you ask, God will do it. Jesus says, do you believe he'll raise? Oh, in the resurrection. She's trying to limit God on how he's going to do what he does. He said, I am the resurrection. Listen, he's our righteousness. So Jesus says, show me where you laid him. And she says, yeah, Lord, but he's been dead 4 days and he stinketh. He's starting to rot in the grave. Jesus gets there and says, move the stone. I'm glad it wasn't us. Some of you wouldn't have been there the first time he said that. Pew! Y'all, good God. Ain't no telling what he's going to do. Move the stone. Somebody move the stone. He stands in front of the tomb and says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth in grave clothes. Now, there's a lot to be said about grave clothes. Because, see, you can be alive and still have grave clothes on. In other words, you're not wrapped up in the righteousness of God. You're spiritually dead. You don't even know how to speak the word of God, because faith comes by hearing the words. And because you don't hear the word of God, when you speak, you're speaking dead. Death, because you're not speaking life, because you don't know what the word of God says, that death and life is in the power of the tongue. So some of us are still alive, but we got grave clothes on. So Jesus turned to the disciples and said, loose him and let him go. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm unwrapping dead clothes off of you. So now all of a sudden, Lazarus is alive, and the Lord wants me to explain to you how did he get alive. He said, because righteousness and faith were before time. God is righteous and he's faithful. He created the heavens and the earth when he spoke the word of God. And Jesus is the word of God. He's life and he's also our righteousness. So what righteousness and faith does, it goes beyond time. It goes beyond the grave. Woo! It goes beyond sickness. It goes beyond poverty. When you begin to speak the word of God, it causes these things to be resurrected. But because you don't know who you are, you don't speak it. And you have death all around you. Oh, my aching back. I'm not doing any good at all. You make me tired. All these things we speak out of our mouth. And you're wrapped up in grave clothes. And Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected. And his grave clothes were left, and he got up. When are we going to start putting on the new man, which is in Christ Jesus? See, he ain't going to put him on you. You have to put him on. Amen. Clothed in righteousness. Oh. So now all of a sudden I notice something. That when Jesus showed up, even in Matthew 8, he came down from the mountain. And there was a leprous man. Told him, he said, if you will, Lord, you can heal me. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and said, be thou clean. And he showed me these two principles again, these two components, righteousness and faith. Jesus is our righteousness. He came down. But this guy had faith because he went through the crowd. And lepers weren't supposed to go through the crowd. They weren't even supposed to be in the crowd. They were supposed to holler out unclean. But then he said this, Lord, have mercy upon me. And he worshiped him. In other words, you don't worship something you don't believe in. He showed faith. Now you got righteousness and faith. You put these two components together, you get a miracle. There is no miracles that don't take place without these two components. And we in the body of Christ aren't utilizing either one of them. Most of the time, we wait till we have a 911 and we go to God and say, Lord, I know I haven't been doing like I'm supposed to do. Lord, I know I'm not giving like I'm supposed to give. And you start reminding God of all the stuff that you fell short on. You start telling him about your sins. You start telling him about your shortcomings. He already knows all that stuff. All that stuff was placed on Jesus when he was crucified, when he was buried, and when he got up from the grave, it was all over with. And here we got this tendency in the body of Christ to talk about our sins. Why would you even talk about your sin? If you're going to talk about them, tell God how sorry you are for doing them. Nobody else needs to know none of your business about your shortcomings. And because now you're walking around feeling as though you are unworthy. I can't sing in church. I ain't going to get up front because everybody might have saw me last night at the liquor store. What's that got to do with anything? They accused Jesus of being a wine bibber. You don't accuse somebody of being a wine bibber if he can drink a little bit of wine. We trying to put our own beliefs on people. Our own standard. Well, I don't go to the liquor store. You shouldn't go. You ain't me. And God made the grapes anyway. Everything God made was good. You trying to tell me they're not good. See, you didn't save me. You didn't redeem me. You didn't do nothing for me. So I'm not going to put my faith in what you say and what you do. I'm putting my faith in what Jesus did. Jesus went to the cross for me. He died for my sins, and you got no business talking to me about my sins. Now, as the righteousness of God, I'm not without any sin consciousness. And I got faith. So if I can put these two components together, I understand that I'm the righteousness of God. As the righteousness of God, I go boldly to the throne of grace that I might obtain and find favor in the time of need. And nothing and nobody can stop me. You know, the one who tries to stop you is the devil. He'll try to tell you. And those that he's enlisted in his army, he'll try to tell you you're not worthy to go to church. He'll try to tell you you're not worthy to receive a blessing of God. He can't use you because of your past. I said this morning, every time the devil tells you something, you ought to laugh at it because you know he's a liar. Ha, ha, ha. The devil said, what? Hallelujah. And you know, there's certain people that you know every time they open their mouth, they lie. That's the devil. And you don't listen to them, so why listen to the devil? So when I look at the word of God, I begin to see that God was using these things. And when Adam fell from the grace of God, he got put out of the garden. He had to work by the sweat of his brow. And then you notice the Bible talks about Jesus being the second Adam. I said, Lord, that's amazing. You made two Adams. He said, not only did I make two Adams, I made two fields. Huh? There's another one of me? You know, not like you. He said, there's a new you. Wow. So he tells me, he said, you were created in righteousness. In other words, put on the new you. Put him on. God's not going to put him on for you. Well, Lord, I'm trying. Keep reading the word. Because when you read the word, you're understanding that you're righteous. When you read the word, faith comes. Faith does what you can't do. Righteousness does what you can't do. You put two can-dos to work when you can't do, you'll find out that God can do all things to those that believe. But see, because you're not getting any word on the inside of you, you can't believe anything. So when God tries to tell you, I love you, say, you don't love me. I better drink a beer over that one. Well, I want to use you. You can't use me, God, because I got all kinds of faults. I got all kinds of inadequacies, and I got bad habits. Listen, there ain't anybody on planet Earth other than Jesus that didn't sin. And he knew that you couldn't pay the price for your sins. And I had a lot of them. And so did you. And it doesn't matter how many you had. I was born into it. And I had no choice. The moment I was born in this hospital, the old hospital out here, I was labeled in the spirit a sinner. because I was born into sin, shaped in iniquity because of what Adam had done. But religion told me as long as I smiled, as long as I kept the commandments that or the traditions of the church, I was good. And then they set me up for failure. They didn't mean to. So I had to go to Sunday school and learn the Sunday school lesson and get up and give a review. If I could give up and get a review, I was better than the rest of them. And then if I got over here and got in the choir and I sung a solo, I was a lot better than them. And then if I showed up on Wednesday night, because no kids showed up on Wednesday night prayer meeting. If I showed up on Wednesday night prayer meeting, I was super good. When one of my sisters or somebody tried to get me in trouble, Daddy looked at me and said, no, that boy didn't do that. He'd been going to church. He'd been singing. He'd give good Sunday school reviews. And I was just as bad as somebody that wasn't going to church. But I had to learn how to keep that monkey off my back. It had grown to be a gorilla. Because every time I turned around, there was somebody, like the song said, somebody's watching you. People were watching me. I didn't know, but my parents knew, my sisters knew, my brothers knew. And time I did something, I got back home, the news had beat me home. Then I found out there ain't no hiding place. So I'd ask, go spend the night with somebody else so I could sneak over there. And I thought maybe they wouldn't see what I was doing at my cousin's house. There was people over in that neighborhood that knew who I was. I didn't know them, but they knew who I was. And finally, when I laid in that hospital bed, and the doctor said, they don't know what's wrong with me. And I could feel the life of God leaving my body. Then I heard the Spirit of God. Son, I want you to preach my gospel. I said, I ain't doing it. I said, I can't. I like to party too much. I like to drink. I like to smoke. I like to go to the clubs. I like to dance. And Lord, you know who I am. That's just who I am. And God said, I called you to preach. He never told me that I had to stop doing all that stuff. He told me to preach because I didn't have the power to stop. Have you ever said you was going to stop doing something and end up doing it anyway? You ever make up your mind and say, I'm not going to get mad and cuss at nobody and you cuss them out worse than ever before? Said, I'm going to stop drinking. And the next day you stop at the liquor store and get as twice as much as you did before. God wasn't mad at me because I did those things. He wanted me to preach the gospel. In order to preach the gospel, I had to hear the gospel because he knew when I heard the gospel, the righteousness of God would come in and I'd get faith and that would deliver me. Hallelujah. He already had a plan for me to be delivered. My plan was no good. So what happens in the body of Christ? We keep trying to do things. And you can't do it. You don't have the ability to do it. But God has already prepared those things that those people who love him. So now all of a sudden, he said, when you get born again, he said, I made you righteous. I made you as though you never have ever sinned or ever were associated with sin. That's who you are. I couldn't convince myself of that. The church never told me that. They told me I was filthy rags. They tell me I couldn't sing because they saw me doing something else. You know, I used to listen to people who wanted to sing and had a different lifestyle. So you could, and I thought, well, all I do now as a pastor, if I see people with a different lifestyle, they want to sing for God. I said, I'm not going to stop you from singing, but I'm not going to let you sing in here until you get it together. Because I don't want you to fool yourself and make you think that you're something that you're not. I want you to understand who you are and who you're singing about. Because I don't want to spread this knowledge that I can serve God any kind of way I want to. No, you got to be an example. You know what I mean? You need to be an example. Why? Because somebody's watching you. I told you that. Somebody's watching me all the time. And I thought, well, when I get away from home, I'll be grown and nobody will see or know what I'm doing. The popo's still out there. Instructors are there. Coaches are there. You got friends that know you. And they earn back and tell your parents. Or their folks, and then they tell your parents. It don't matter where you're at. Listen, you can mess up so bad and you think nobody else is around and you jump in the water and the fish get you. And he'll hold you captive because God's got a plan for you. Everyone that is born into this world, God has a plan. You can't change the plans. Either you can obey it or disobey it. When you disobey the plans of God, you struggle. So you got to have something to calm your nerves down because you don't have any peace. You don't get to sleep like you want to. Why? Because you don't have any peace. Because you're not following the plan of God. Stop looking at everybody else. And, well, so-and-so doing it and getting away with it. How come I can't? Because God's got a plan for you. And what makes you think they're getting away with it? So when I looked at the word of God, I began to see there was a centurion whose servant was sick unto death. So he sent word to Jesus. He said, my servant is at the point of death. Come lay hands on him that he might be healed. Now, I said, there's two components you need to understand that God always uses, righteousness and faith. Now, this centurion wasn't saved. He wasn't righteous. He didn't have the law, but he had faith. How can you not have faith when you send somebody to Jesus and you must have heard that Jesus is a healer because he's asking Jesus to come lay hands on his servant that he might be healed. See, if you have one of these components, then God can use that component that you have to get what you need to help you to deliver you from where you're at to where God called you to be. So all of a sudden Jesus said, I will. And he started going to his house. Then he sent some other people and said, tell him I'm not worthy. See, he's a sinner. But that didn't stop him from crying out, did it? See, don't ever think that because you sin, you can't cry out. I cry out more when I sin. I do. I cry out more. And I don't cry like I used to. I just say, Lord, I've sinned and fallen short. I used to just wallow in, oh, God, I know I ain't right. Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm trying, God. Lord, you know I'm trying. And he finally one day says, shut up and just confess your sins. You crying about it's not going to save me because you're probably going to do it again. Well, he knows me. Knows you too. Hallelujah. So this guy sends his friends and said, tell him don't come to my house. I'm not worthy. Speak a word, for I'm a man under authority. See, our problem is we don't want to get under righteousness. We don't want to get under faith. You don't want to get under the preacher so you can hear the word of righteousness. You can hear the word of faith. As long as you are not under, then you're going to suffer. His servant was suffering, but then he said, I'm under. So I asked somebody the other day, do you know the best teacher other than the Holy Ghost? Oh, experience is the best teacher. Well, if that's the case, how come it's taking you so long? Experience is the longest teacher. Because as long as you're experiencing things, you're still learning. Get you a mentor. What it has taken a mentor 20 or 30 years, he can pass it on to you for a couple of weeks. All his failures, his disappointments, his heartaches and missing the mark, he can reveal that stuff to you in a matter of days. God always is placing people under mentors. But see, can't nobody tell you nothing. So can't nobody tell you anything. Experience is going to have to be your teacher. And sometimes it comes behind bars. Sometimes it comes behind diseases. Sometimes it comes behind being beat up, persecuted, having habits that you can't break, you know, because you want experience to be the best teacher. See, I'm not here to try to convince you how good I am, because that's irrelevant. If I'm any good, I ought to be influencing and influencing and influencing and influencing you to change the way you live. And then don't tell me I'm good, because I don't need to hear that. Just say a thank you every once in a while, be sufficient, and give glory to God. Hallelujah. Because a lot of times we've tried to exalt ourselves as pastors and say, if you want something from God, come to me. We're supposed to be equipping the saints for the work of the ministry so they can do the work. Amen. So we'll be out of a job. But as long as there's carnal Christians, I'll always have a job. What's carnal Christian? Somebody go by what they see instead of hearing the word of God. So when this guy finally says, just speak a word because I'm under authority. Well, the word that he spoke was a righteous word. The word that he spoke was full of faith. And so when he spoke it, he went back home. He asked, what hour did this happen? It was the same hour in which Jesus spoke the word. In other words, righteousness puts you in position to receive everything God has for you. You want something from God? Understand you're righteous. It's not based on your behavior. It's based on what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Listen, the grave couldn't hold him. Couldn't hold him. Even the big stone they put on front of the grave couldn't hold him. The Bible said the earth shook. Why? Because all power is in his hands. Up from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph over his foes, he arose the victor from the dark domain. Hallelujah. And he lives forever for the saints to proclaim. Now he says, you're my righteousness. God looking at you and just smile. Every time he sees you, he just smiles. He said, you don't even know who you are yet, but I'm still smiling. You know, when you like somebody, you look at them and you just smile. Then they say, but what you smiling at? You keep on smiling. One day, maybe they'll smile back at you. And that's what God is doing. He's smiling at you. He said, I love you. I don't care what you've done, what you said, or where you've been. I can't help myself. I love you. See, it's important in the body of Christ that you know you're righteous. When you feel like nobody else loves you, nobody, God is saying, I love you. And I got a purpose for you. And I'm going to equip you to do everything that you were born to do. And don't ever think I don't love you. Just because somebody don't tell you that don't mean I don't love you. I'm working on them while I'm working on you. Stand up on your feet.